So can we really profile people who are about to carry out acts of violence? Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to Quick Hits. Yes, I'm back. I did take a bit of a hiatus in April and May of this year. A bit of time to recharge my batteries, do a few other things. And I must admit that when I announced this, letting go for a while, I got an awful lot of feedback from people who wished that I would continue. They said they loved the podcast, they listened to it all the time, and were quite sad to hear that I was no longer going to do it. So to all of you who expressed that opinion to me, both in person and online, I want to say thank you very, very much for your support. It meant a lot to me to hear that what I've been giving to you for the past 5 or 6 years meant something to you, that it may have helped you understand the greater world of national security and more specifically terrorism. For some of you, it may have helped, even helped in your jobs. I have a lot of followers who work in law enforcement, who work in security intelligence, and it is very comforting to me to think that an old retired guy like me can actually still have a bit of an impact on our collective understanding of these issues. Having said that, I have decided to come back. I'm not sure how often I'm going to produce these podcasts. I also want to warn you that they're going to be a little less professionally done, at least until I learn more about podcasting and the details of making it sound professional. So this, the thoughts are the same. The thoughts have always been my very sincere views on these issues, but I was fortunate historically to have the services of somebody who knew what they were doing in producing podcasts. Well, I'm on my own now, and hence I will ask you to forgive the extremely amateurish, unprofessional feel and sound to these particular podcasts. But I do believe that it's more the thought and the issues I want to describe more so than making this sound like it was done by somebody who knows what they're doing. So for my first re-entry into the podcast world, I want to address an issue that I've come across, and I'm sure you've come across it as well, in the wake of the incredibly horrendous, horrific circumstances in Uvalde, Texas, where a young man went into an elementary school and killed a whole bunch of kids and teachers. I'm sure you've heard of it. Another mass shooting, United States. As I'm recording this on June the 6th, the past weekend alone apparently saw 10 mass shootings in the United States. Now, I know there's difference of opinion on what a mass shooting is, but the one I'm going with is at least 3 deaths, not including the shooter, by somebody with a gun. So the phenomenon isn't going away. But what you often see in the wake of these attacks is, aside from calls for gun control, which the National Rifle Association, the NRA, routinely rejects, as do many senators and congresspeople in the United States, you'd also see a lot of analysis on why this happened. And more germane to this podcast, what in heaven's name we can do about it. In other words, can we come up with some kind of system to profile individuals who are in fact intent on carrying out acts of this nature and stop them before they do? I came across an article in the National Post, which is a right-of-center Canadian newspaper. It is actually an article from the Washington Post, and it's entitled Young Men, Guns, and the Prefrontal Cortex. Subtitle, Experts Studying Mass Shooters Find Common Thread in Adolescent Experiences. And just a few extracts from the article. It's a fairly long article, but a couple of extracts that people who study this phenomenon, largely university professors, it seems, from the article. Some of the keywords I came across, a confluence between angry young men, easy access to weapons, and reinforcement of violence by social media. They found that this was largely a young person's phenomenon, at least as far as school shootings is concerned, interestingly enough, not necessarily workplace shootings. But I would argue, well, most school shooters are in fact, you know, people still in school, hence their adolescence. Some more keywords coming out of adolescence, being depressed and isolated, feeling more vulnerable, disconnected from their murderous earlier selves later on, a lack of maturity, underdeveloped sense of responsibility. Young minds may not be capable of having the serious responsibility of owning an assault rifle,
psychological changes in youth. It goes on and on. Unlimited power and greatness, damaged masculinity, perpetrators trying to regain control through a masculine solution, being made to feel they have to be tough and aggressive, macho. They're emasculated, bullied, ignored, didn't have the dating life or popular they wanted to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then towards the end of the article, it says that using machine learning, you can make predictions of where the next mass shooting might occur. We can stop it before it happens. I'm going to push back a little bit. And because this is not a podcast on violence per se, but more on national security and more narrowly terrorism, I'm going to draw a parallel to terrorism. You know, I've talked a lot about terrorism over the past 7 years since my retirement from CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. Of course, I've written 6 books on the topic. And my very first book, dating back to 2014, 2015, talked about this predictability. Can you determine who's going to join Al-Qaeda, Islamic State, Al-Shabaab, yada, 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 terrorist group? Go down that pathway, plan an act of terrorism, carried out, killing innocent people. And the answer is no. You can't predict that. I wish we could. There are a number of factors that point to behavioral changes, as well as attitudinal changes, if that's even a word, attitudinal. And I discuss that ad nauseum in my first book, The Threat from Within, which is all about radicalization. But I also concluded back then, and I don't think anything's changed in the last 7 years, that it becomes completely impossible to predict who's going to go from thinking about joining a terrorist group and carrying on an act of terrorism to actually doing it. And as I've said on many occasions, the vast majority of people that come to the attention of security services like CSIS or law enforcement like the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police or the FBI or CIA or whatever, MI5 in the United Kingdom, the vast majority of people who talk about it never do a damn thing because they're cowards, they're incapable, or just wankers. Love the word wanker. As a consequence, you are not in a position to determine with any degree of certainty or confidence that out of the 100 people you're looking at, to pick a random number, these two or three are the ones you should worry about most. You have to worry about all of them because you don't know in advance which one will take the ultimate journey and pick up a gun, build a bomb, strap on a suicide vest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, get in a car, go into a market, whatever. And I'm skeptical when I read articles like this. Now, this one's on mass shooters, not terrorists. When somebody comes up with this algorithm or some kind of a template that can say, if you follow my rules, you will find out who the next mass shooter slash terrorist is going to be, and you can stop them in advance. I really wish it were so. Now, I tip my hat to people doing research in these areas. It's a very important area of research. It's critical to public safety, maybe some cases national security, although public safety and national security are not synonymous. And obviously, we want to stop people from dying in horrible, violent ways at the hands of either mass shooters or terrorists. So kudos to them for trying, but I just don't think we're ever going to get there because you're talking about human behavior. And you're talking about human decision-making. And that's a very variable set of phenomena. People make choices for all kinds of reasons. And they change their minds on many occasions. I may wake up tomorrow and think, you know what? I'm going to go to my local McDonald's, which is down the road from me, and walk in and start shooting people. And then halfway there, I say, yeah, no, not today. I'm not angry anymore. Or I've decided this is a dumb thing to do. So here I am, all geared up to go and do this. And the last minute, I changed my mind. See, that's what working in counterterrorism is all about. You follow those people and they post all kinds of stupid shit online. They pledge allegiance to groups like Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or whatever. And they post videos and they support their cohorts in Canada or United States or wherever in the world. And you think they're going to go whole hog and join this kind of stuff. And they don't. They don't do a damn thing. So next time you read an article like this about hope, optimism, that we're going to get there someday, be able to predict people who carry out acts of violence of whatever nature, ask yourself, are we really that close? Remember, there's fiction and there's nonfiction. Minority Report, a movie from what, the 1990s, which was a world in which you could predict who's going to carry out violence, that's the realm of fiction, folks. It's not the realm of reality.
I have bad news for you. I always like to be an optimistic person, but we're not going to get to any time soon any world where we can predict with any degree of certainty who's going to carry out a mass shooting in a school or in a funeral as happened in the States on the weekend or in a synagogue or church, whatever, who's going to strap on a suicide vest and kill in the name of ISIS or Al-Qaeda. That's reality, folks. Anyhow, that's what I think. Love to hear your feedback. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com, or on Twitter @BorealisSaves. You can also find me on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you like the content and want to get more of it, go to my website, borealisthreatandrisk.com, hit the subscribe button. You'll get free access to all the podcasts and maybe blogs if I get back to that at some point in the near future. Love to hear your feedback. I'll talk to you again soon. And again, thanks to everyone for your support over the last couple of years, and particularly those who told me that they missed the podcast. We'll talk again soon. Take care.